Right. So we've been doing a whole series this term on spiritual warfare and thinking about the ways in which God has given us tools already to be able to fight back when God's enemy, Satan, tries to trip us up, tries to pull us down, and tries to stop us from having a loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, who sent Jesus the Son to save and rescue us and fills us with the Holy Spirit. But today, I want to talk, a few weeks ago, in fact, last month, we talked about the sword of the Spirit. Does anybody remember what we were looking at when we talked about God's given us the sword of the Spirit? And we were talking particularly about something that God's given us that helps us to fight back against... Oh, Tony.
The Word of God.
The Word of God, the Bible. So we were talking about a sword. Today, I want to talk about fists. Have you got fists? Do you ever struggle to find your fists? If you're anything like Mighty Boys, they are readily available. And God has given us two things which are readily available to us when things happen. Now, in this story, something bad had happened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we didn't really go into the background. Does anybody know, were they Jewish? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes. They were Jewish. Were they living in Israel? No. They had been taken away from their homes. The Babylonians had invaded their country. They'd attacked them. They destroyed the city. They'd pulled Jerusalem to ruins. And then they'd taken the teenagers of the royal family and the important people in Israel to try and kind of mold them and shape them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were one or three of those group of teenagers who were taken by Nebuchadnezzar the king to try and mold them into good Babylonians. And then if the royalty of the Israelites were conforming to the life in Babylon, then all the other Jews perhaps would conform or would just become obedient citizens. Now, this would have been really hard. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had probably lost their family. They had probably, as teenagers, been taken to a new place, had to learn new language. And even though they were being treated quite well in Babylon, they must have been really sad and really struggled. And so sometimes when we think about, life and its challenges and the difficulties that we each face, we can be like them and find it a bit of a struggle, perhaps, to be sure, to be faithful to God, to continue living in obedience. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced this difficulty of peer pressure, now, they basically had been trying to live as faithful as they could, remembering God loved them and God was with them, even though they were in a foreign land, in a different country, and struggling with all of those customs, all of the emotions. They were trying really hard to be faithful and obedient to God. Along comes King Nebuchadnezzar with this huge golden statue all about him. And he's saying, right, when the music sounds, you've got to bow down. And everybody in Babylon did just that. Everybody bowed down to this massive statue. Why did they bow down to the statue? Why did they bow down? Daniel, do you think you know why? Why do you think they bowed down?
I don't know.
Do you know, Peter?
Because they thought it was their king.
Maybe they thought it was their king. Maybe they really liked King Nebuchadnezzar. They thought, what a handsome statue. Why did they bow down?
Or they would be executed.
Yeah, they'd be killed. They'd be deaded. And most people don't want to be deaded. Most people want to stay alive. And so there was the fear of being killed, being punished or killed. That perhaps was a reason. Why else do you think maybe everybody just got on and did it, even if they didn't think that the statue or the king was especially handsome? Phil?
Because everyone else was doing it.
Because everybody else was doing it. Are there times in our lives when everybody else is doing something, we think, I'm not quite sure that I should be doing that or that I even want to do that, but we go along with it just because everybody else is doing it? It actually happens quite a lot. And do you know what? We tend to think that that's particularly hard for children at school and other things, but actually it's hard for all of us. We all live in a world where it's more comfortable to do what everybody else is doing than it is to stand out and be different. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego thought and believed and knew in their hearts that obedience to God was more important than obedience to the king, even if it meant that they would die. They believed in God so much, they loved him so much, that they were willing to die if that's what it took. That's quite a serious thing, isn't it? It's quite an important thing as we think about how we live our lives. Are we really struggling with being obedient to God? Do we find it hard under the peer pressure of the world, or even just in our own individual lives with the temptations that we face, all of us face? So our first fist to fight back against Satan tricking us or trying to tell us that we're not worthy of God's love or that God isn't interested. Our first fist is actually obedience. In the face of peer pressure or anything else, in the face of things being difficult or a struggle, one of the first things we can do, it's in our capacity, is to fight back by choosing obedience to God above everything else. And when we do that, it packs a powerful punch. They were obedient to God, and God really met with them powerfully. And then the other thing that is the other fist, because one-handed punching is not necessarily the most effective, but two-handed punching is quite effective. But we're fighting back against the enemy who tries to convince us that we are not worthy. But what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did was not only were they obedient to God in not bowing down, but when the opportunity came, so they were hauled in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were given a second chance. They could have bowed down at that point because they knew then, at first it was just the theory that they would die. They would knew King Nebuchadnezzar was basically saying, if you do not bow down now, there is the fiery furnace and I've just heated it up 7 times hotter. In that moment, they declared this incredible statement of faith, of worship and praise, and of faithfulness to God. They said, we believe that our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your statue. We will only worship our God. What an incredible statement of faithfulness on their part, that they loved God and they were choosing faithfulness to him above everything else. But also faith that God would be with them whatever happened. And of course we know that God was with them and they were rescued. But they were willing, even if God didn't rescue them, to remain faithful to him. And because of that, whatever the enemy of God was trying to use to undermine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to try and trip them up, to try and make them fall into the trap of doing things that would put a barrier between them and God. Whatever his plans were, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego used their fists. They were obedient to God and faithful to him in even the worst situation. And because of that, Satan had no power over them. God was able to rescue them and to lead them out. And we know their story because of that. And so as we think for ourselves, what does it look like for me? What does it look like for me? Perhaps other people in the playground at school swear. Perhaps they use words that you know are not good to use. Perhaps one of the things that we can do is to be obedient with our words. Perhaps there's stuff going on in your life that you know is really difficult and the pressure on you financially or in a work context or anything else is pushing you towards doing something to compromise what you know is God's way of living. Lying, cheating, doing something you know that isn't honourable. Will you use your fists in faithfulness to God and obedience to the way that he says we should live, and allow him, whatever the cost, to show you his faithfulness, that he is with you. Will we be like those three teenagers who, no matter how difficult things are, choose our faith in God and our lives as expressions of worship to him in every circumstance? So whatever we face this week, let's look for those opportunities. Let's look for those things, wherever we find them. Opportunities for us to declare, the same way that they did, that we believe and trust in a God who is powerful, a God who is present, and a God who has given us many tools with which we can fight back. Do we trust him for our future? Will we place ourselves in his hands by being obedient and faithful? We're going to turn now to prayer, aren't we, Abby?